Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. What's going on, everybody? My name again is Jason. Welcome to episode 354 of the Authentic Persuasion Show. So glad that you're here. So glad you're taking time out of your day, whatever you're doing. You may or may not be commuting anymore, may or may not be traveling anymore, but you're here and I love it and I appreciate it. And I'm so glad because part of that tells me that you want to help your own sales experience, your own process, your own sales success. You want to help that so that you can achieve more. Or you're at a company and you want to help your team achieve more and you're looking for ways to improve that process and or just improve the way sales is done. And so I appreciate you for being here. Now, today's episode is focused on recruiting. And for the owners and the managers out there, I'm talking to you about your recruiting process. And really, let's call it what it is, the issues that you have for recruiting. Now, do you ever feel like you have an okay recruiting process, yet still you're either struggling to find good salespeople or you still have high turnover? Or maybe you just see this up and down with your recruiting. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You can't really identify why and you're having trouble scaling to where you want to go. So here is what I have found for this, for recruiting and some ways to make this more successful based on what doesn't work that I generally see. Now, the first thing is that sometimes a process is created by and run by human resources, by HR. And HR's job is to obviously manage the humans, right? They're human resource and they're there to support everyone. The challenge is that most HR people don't have a sales background. They're more operational, whether they're a technical HR person that's really good at the admin and the paperwork and the process, or they're a more relational, emotional human resource that's there for the people and wants to focus on the culture and support everyone in the best way that they can. No matter what, they're generally not coming at it from a sales perspective, and they don't necessarily understand sales' needs. And what happens is they have more of an ops mind. They have more of an operational mind. And generally, in most organizations, sales, which is vital for revenue, is one portion of the organization. And what I've seen is they're a percentage, but not even the majority, right? Very few organizations I've seen, the majority is sales. Usually maybe a third, maybe a quarter, sometimes a half, but it's usually way less than a half. And so what happens is there's a lot more ops people. And so the more that you're in HR and the more that you're dealing with the majority of people in the organization being on the op side, the non-sales side, then what happens is you hear all these things about sales and everyone is struggling with sales and sales is struggling with everyone else. And so what happens over time is HR kind of builds up, in my experience, this not anti-sales, but this just resistance or reluctance with sale. And that goes into the challenge that they might have for recruiting salespeople. Either they think they know what a good salesperson could be like because they keep seeing what doesn't work, or they just don't know at all. So that's one of the challenges or one of the ways that leads to challenges with recruiting when it's built by and run by HR and they just are disconnected from sales and what's needed. Now, the other time where it's actually can be a bad recruiting process or ineffective recruiting process is when it's actually run by salespeople and sales managers or sales leaders. So this usually leads to a process that's run like that person. So if we think about what I talked about a few episodes ago, where sales reps getting promoted to sales leaders is what happens in a lot of organizations, you've got a sales manager or director of sales or somebody in that role where they used to be a salesperson and they move their way up. And what happens is they will run the recruiting process like they wish that their sales happened, right? Their ideal sales closing pipeline transactions, that's what they'll do with their recruiting process. So they want quick close, little effort, maybe focusing on a numbers game, right? So if I had 100 applicants, then that's way better. So just give me a numbers game and I'll find the right people and let's move people through quickly. And then let's just play a numbers game. And if I hire 20 people and three of them work out. That's great because I got three. Let's keep moving forward. And so the challenge is when you have that salesperson who brings that kind of strategy and tactic or mindset into recruiting, it just causes a lot of issues. And here's why. Whether it's HR-led, sales-led, wherever the process is coming from and who's ever running it, with high turnover, here's the challenge, is it's so painful for organizations and financially, and then also morale, right? So we all know the stats that for the turnover, for every time you have to let somebody go, it can cost X thousands of dollars, right? Sales is even magnified, and there's various numbers out there. But for a salesperson, so you've got obviously the recruiting, job posting to HR, to the interview process, whatever that is. So you have that cost, then you bring them on board and you have the onboarding cost, you have the training cost, you have the employee cost, benefits, their salary or their hourly, and everything that goes into that, right? So you have all those fixed hard costs that you can pretty much calculate. Then what happens with salespeople is if you have turnover, then you have opportunity costs, very heavy opportunity costs, because you have them on two sides. One is as that new salesperson is ramping up, they're having conversations with your prospective buyers and they're not closing enough deals, right? If they don't make it in your organization, essentially, that's going to mean they burned through a lot of leads and didn't close enough deals. And so opportunity cost means that you're missing out on the revenue that if you had taken those, let's say those 100 leads or those 100 prospective customers and handed them to someone who was successful on your team, how many more deals would you have closed? As a business, how much more revenue would you have made if you hadn't experimented on this new hire salesperson and hoping that they would be successful, right? So how much did you miss out on that? And then there's also the ramp up costs, because the thing is that a good salesperson on your organization, no matter what kind of organization, it's going to take some ramp up time. So there's going to be a period of time where it's going to take them to actually get to be successful, and how long that takes. It could be 2 months. If you have enterprise sale, long sales cycle process, that could be 12 months. It could be 18 months. And so when you have that and then you turn them over, you now have to wait with a new hire to get to that point, whether it's 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, then you have to wait. And there's all that opportunity cost. Then, like I mentioned, there's also the morale cost. That's tough too, because it's tough on what I consider to be the survivors to watch people come and go from the team. The salespeople who are there on the team that either made it through and didn't let go, or the veterans that are just watching people come and go. It's tough because it makes them question the company, if this happens a lot, and the company's ability to succeed and run a business, the chances of success, and what will happen to those salespeople if things start to slip. If they start doing poorly, does that mean they're going to be fired as well? And creates this anxiety. And it's really tough to have a good morale and a good winning culture if you have a lot of turnover because of a broken recruiting process and everything. So let's talk about some tips here. So the first one is build your recruiting process with the end in mind. So what does the sales role involve? What does the sales process look like? How much effort is involved with selling in your organization, right? Is it 100 phone calls a day, 250 phone calls a day? Is it 10 phone calls with a bunch of research? Like, what does that effort look like? I work with organizations where it's, you know, 500-600 cold calls on a dialer a day to people who are requesting more information. And that is a different game. And you've got to make sure that you have that in mind. You know what that person's going to be doing because it's going to go into your recruiting process. What are the metrics for success? That's super important as well. Now, number two, create job ads to basically speak to and attract the people you want, right? Whether the ad is short or long, I've experimented with both and I recommend doing that. The key is that you're getting the right people to respond. And this is where, again, salespeople who are running a process might look at it like a numbers game, right? And so looking at the leads, they just want lots of people. Just give me lots of people. If I could have 100 conversations, that would be great because I'll hire 10 of those people and they're doing that. Now, that doesn't mean it's the best way to go. More leads doesn't always equal a better process. What you want is qualified leads. And in recruiting, you're talking about that. You're trying to get qualified leads, qualified prospects that you can sell, which is to hire, right? That's the ultimate goal. That's the close, where it's a good fit for them, good fit for you. You've closed them on the opportunity. They've agreed. Now they've become an employee. Same thing as when you sell and get someone to be a client. And so you want to focus on the quality over the quantity, especially once you get it dialed in, because to have 100 conversations or 100 applicants to hire 10, that's okay, but that's a lot of work and that's a lot of effort. Or what would it be like if you had 50 applicants and you hired 10? Or if you had 30 applicants and you hired 10? So you always want to watch your quality over quantity and not buy into needing lots and lots of applicants to show that your recruiting process is successful. But really, what are the results out the other end? If you had 100 applicants and you hired 2 or you hired 50, obviously that's a big difference. If you had 10 applicants and hired 2, but then you could just replicate that more and more, which one is going to be better? So obviously it's relative to your organization. Third tip here is your recruiting process should always mimic as close as you can your sales process. So whatever the sales team is doing, however they operate, whatever you're expecting a successful salesperson to do in their role, in their seat with customers, then you want to mimic that, right? Is it multiple phone calls? Are your reps sending emails? Are they doing video demos? Are they doing in-person sales presentations? Are they leaving voicemails? Do they have to do a follow-up with their pipeline? Is it a long sales cycle? Is it a relationship-based sales? Is it relational sales? Are there multiple stakeholders and decision makers required in the process? Because if all those things or any of those things are a part of the sales rep's success in the organization, in their role, then what you want to do is you want to put as many of those in your recruiting process as possible. And I've talked about this before on other episodes. You can check them out or you can reach out to me and I can help you with that guidance. But that's what you want to do and mimic as much as possible. Even if it means your reps are going to be sending emails, part of your recruiting process, make sure they're sending you an email and you're going back and forth via email so that you can gauge how they act via email and what that feeling is like and how well they communicate. Because here's the one thing I know, and I promise you, I promise, is that how somebody acts in the interview process, even if they're nervous, even if they're trying to be on their best behavior, if you're watching closely enough and you're listening and you're observing everything, that's exactly what you're going to get. That's who you're going to get. Now, tip number 4, look for what makes for the ideal sales rep on your team, right? Are they, for a person to be successful in sales, there's all those process things, but then in the conversations, are they needing to ask lots of questions and dig deep? Are they needing to do follow-ups? Are they needing to be prepared for the conversation and go into it with some kind of research? Or again, like I mentioned this in the last one, is it a relational thing where they got to build rapport and build some momentum and then move forward? Because here's the thing, going on again about the fact that people show up the same way in the interview process as they will in the sales role is that how they act when you're meeting with them, when you're talking to them, whether it's phone, in person, over video, that's how they're going to be. And so here's what I've noticed. People will just be the same way. I have done interviews and the classic thing, the standard thing for interviews is at some point say, okay, what questions do you have for me? And usually most people are trained or taught that they want to come with questions. Now, in that process, it's very subtle, but that will tell you a lot of what you need to know about how successful that person will be. Now, of course, if you answered lots of questions, if you gave them tons of info before getting to that point, then you may not see it as much because you kind of took all the wind out of their sails for the questions they were going to ask. But you want to look at that. Do they ask a couple of questions? Do they ask some deep questions? Do they ask you a question and then a follow-up question and a follow-up question relative to what you said, not just going down their checklist, but literally like you said this and they said, oh, based on that, I have another question. Based on that, I'd like to know more. And they're digging deeper and deeper. So I promise you that's what they're going to do. Same thing on the other end of the extreme, which is they come into the interview. You say, what questions do you have for me? And they say, I don't have any questions. This seems good. I'm ready to go. That should be a huge red flag. As much as you'd like to bring them on board because you think it's a great fit, if they have no questions and want to know nothing before diving in, the problem is when they get in that sales seat and they're talking to that customer, that prospective customer, they're not going to ask questions of them either because they're just going to assume it's a good deal and assume somebody's going to buy and they're just going to move people forward. So make sure you always watch out for that. And that's why one final tip, I always ask in an interview process, I ask people up front what questions they have before I get into my part because I don't want to take anything away from them and I want to see what they came with. How prepared were they? How did it go? What did they bring? So if you want help building your recruiting process or you want an audit of your current recruiting process to determine what ways you could improve Or if you want help running your recruiting process with either interviews or some part of that to offload some of that in an outsourced capacity, please reach out to me. You can email me at jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, or you can find all of my information at jasoncutter.com, where I've got everything listed there. But please reach out to me. Let me know if there's a way I can help you, or if you just know it's not working, but you don't even know where to start. That's ideal, because then what we can do is dive in, do some analysis, figure out what might be missing, and then figure out how to get you from here to where you want to go. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.